Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Colin the Bot. The 4th of August. It's birthday week. It's the week before Linda's huge show on August 15th. And tomorrow, speaking of a...
Well, tomorrow's your birthday.
Yeah, well, who's counting? Okay, me. And speaking of huge shows, here's Frosty.
That much closer to Social Security?
Oh, hey, look. And counting.
And I'm counting, too.
Well, except for one thing. There will be no Social Security. Because we are spending money at such trillions of dollars that Social Security, even though I've been paying into it my whole life. That's another subject, you know. And speaking of beauty, it's my soulmate.
I hope you weren't going to say you've been paying into this one your whole life. Anyway. Because you'll pay for that.
I would never say that.
No, speaking in a positive note here.
It's always
really
positive.
Absolutely. And we're talking about small businesses this whole week. On the line is our fitness guru, where we like to work. Actually, we were there at 6 o'clock this morning, believe it or not. Yes, we work out at 6 a.m. at Adamson's Peak Performance. Good morning, Joe Adamson.
Good morning, Linda. Carl, you're going to be a year older, but you're still buff.
I am. You know what? And I appreciate the fact that... How you widened the door there for my shoulders because I've been lifting so heavy there.
You know,
I get pumped up.
We couldn't even get any sunlight through the end of the window when you walked through the door.
That was it, you know, because, you know, the cords on my neck, you know, just my veins are 4 inches wide.
All right, what's your fitness tip of the week?
Well, my old high school woodshop teacher used to say he wanted quality, not quantity. And what he meant by that is he'd rather have one project done well than several lousy woodshop projects. And the same principle applies when you're doing strength training exercises. And I wanted to give you four quick principles that spell buff. That's what Carl is.
Spelled buff, B-O-T-T.
I love it.
B is for body posture. When you do an exercise, you need to keep good posture, the back straight, chest up, shoulder blades pulled back, etc. That's really important. The U is for under control. The rep speed should be controlled. There shouldn't be a lot of momentum involved. Shouldn't see the body swaying and jerking and twisting. The first F is for focus. You have to focus on what you're doing. You can't just check out and just be yakking away or thinking about, you know, what you're going to say on the radio show or whatever. You need to be focused on the exercise and not allowing yourself to be distracted. The second F is for fight. There's got to be some fight in that set. Once you get towards the end, it starts to burn. That's when you're starting to make some progress. So you got to continue, hang in there, and fight to get a few extra reps. So you put the buff principles to work, and you're going to get some. You're going to make some progress with your. You're going to have some quality going on.
And that's the great thing about having a personal trainer too, because as you're in the 10th set or 10th rep, you think, come on, one more,
yeah,
one more, and
absolutely.
That's great.
We don't let you off the hook.
No, you do not. And and I think if there's anything that we've heard today is that we have a tendency to gab and think about what we're doing for the show, and that there we are with the second F is that sometimes we lack focus. So it's always great to just get a touch up of what buff means. Buff has new meaning to me today.
Yeah, new meaning to buff for Carl.
I was trying to talk to Brooke today, and she refocused me by kicking me in the side. I'm not sure that was what she was supposed to do. Now, but the other last thing is here, Joe, is Small Business Week. You're a small business.
You bet.
And you've been expanding as your business has grown. You've gone to new places. Any problems that you see what was the biggest impediment for you before you started your business? you know, quickly here.
Before we moved over here, it was probably just finding, you know, finding just the right place under just the right circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, you've got a great place there, and I know the people there really enjoy it. So, hey, Joe, thanks a lot.
Thanks, you guys.
You bet.
Well, we've got to take a break now. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, before we start on our small businesses again today, and we've got our guest today, Phil Keister, who is starting in today's economy, starting a business right here in town, but it's an exciting new business that there's nothing else like it around here. And of course, Mark Beauchamp, who is a blogger, one of the most popular bloggers in the North State, and maybe even in California, on a Record Searchlight. Plus, he's got a long background in business, and he's got a lot of ideas about and viewpoints on what's going on with our businesses here in town. But before we do that, we're going to go to Daniel. Daniel, happy birthday, Coast Guard guy.
Good morning. I just thought I'd call and say happy Coast Guard Day.
Happy Coast Guard Day.
Is it today?
It is today.
Do you have your little white hat on?
I don't yet. I probably will.
Okay. Now, what do you typically do in celebration of Coast Guard birthday?
Well, back when I was in the Coast Guard, we used to have, you know, a big barbecue and get together with all the shipmates and everything, and now that I'm just kind of far away, I don't get a chance to get in and do it all the time, but once in a while, I'll drive down to one of the bases and do that.
Well, you know what you could do is you could go out to Whiskeytown Lake and rent a boat, and you could pull over another boat and arrest them for having marijuana on it.
Well, that could be a possibility around here, couldn't it?
That's right. So that way you can feel just like, you know, you're back out there in the Coast Guard.
Maybe next year you can arrest them.
Yeah.
So you just say, ahoy, mate.
Or better yet, you can help them grow it.
Well,
never mind.
Nah, I don't think I'll go there.
Yeah, never mind. Daniel, so any thought today besides happy birthday you would like to say to our listeners?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to get out and write a lot of personal letters to our two fine senators we have from the state of California and let them know our displeasure with the state of affairs, with the money that's going out and not enough money coming in, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, by the way, if people have not seen the latest figures, 56% drop in corporate revenues, the largest drop since 1932.
Isn't that sad?
You know, and yet I still see trillions of dollars being voted on to go out. I don't understand this. Anyway, hey, Daniel, happy birthday.
All right. Bye.
Phil. After hearing all that, oh yeah, Phil, I'm going to open a business right here in Redding, which, by the way, is like it was like one of the top 10 worst places to open a business.
Well, first of all, before we go into throwing out that kind of good morning, Phil.
I'm smiling right now.
Let's talk a little bit about Phil's history.
That's right.
And the kind of adversity this gentleman has faced and conquered, being the sailor and what kind of...
Being on the America's Cup.
Being on the America's Cup. This man has been on four America's Cup and the winner.
Yeah, 1992, America Cube. We actually won the oldest team perennial trophy in sports. So that was quite a thrill for me, actually.
So if people don't know about the America's Cup, this thing is it's millions of dollars. And you have to be rich, but it's the America's Cup was held by America for the United States for just, you know, well, ever since it started until the Kiwis came in. I guess it was after you all, though, right?
Well, actually, no, it was first taken away from us by Australia.
Okay, the Aussies got it.
And then Dennis Connor went back down to Australia and brought it back to San Diego. And I got involved with my first cup in 1992. And with America Cubed, and we actually won that year. And then I was part of three teams since then. So I did two America's Cups in San Diego and two down in New Zealand.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that I got to meet you through my good friend and buddy Rhonda Culp. And because of your great love affair, you moved to Reading. And so what do you do in Reading? Now tell our listeners what you are creating in our North State.
Well, actually... how I got started along this line was I've been working the last 4.5 years for a company called Quagga, which is a communications company based out of Folsom, California. So we deal with voice, data, and video networks and all the products and services involved. So obviously when I did get together with Rhonda, I decided the best place for me to be was next to her. So I came up here to Reading, and I've been working out of the home office for Quagga. And just started looking around and thinking that I wanted to get plug myself back into a business environment again. One of my clients with Quagga opened a co-working office down in Tracy, California. And so I visited him on a couple of occasions and was pretty impressed with what he'd put together down there. It just seemed like with today's financial climate, it was making sense for a lot of small businesses to utilize a co-working space.
Yeah. Okay, now, we've got to take a quick break here, but we're going to come back and talk about what Phil has started here in town.
And launching
soon.
In the next week.
This is Carl Lindabot on Free Fire Radio, Newstalk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. Wow. Ooh, I want to stand up on that one. It's Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, Newstalk 1400 KQMS. This week we're talking about small businesses. We're very excited. Our guest today is Phil Keister. And Phil is going to be launching a brand new business. Tell us the name, where it's located, and what you're doing.
Okay, the name of the business is Reading Business Connection. We're located at 833 Mistletoe Lane, just off of Hilltop Drive. We're on the street front and just directly across the street from Marie Callender's.
So, what's the concept of your business?
The concept is for a co-working spot. So people that don't want to necessarily invest in their own executive office, maybe need a place to meet with clients or to work in a good working environment, but for a lot less money than you'd have to spend for your own executive office. So that's the concept. We have private and semi-private work areas. We've got conference rooms and collaboration areas. There's a fax machine, obviously, and copy machine, so all those types of services.
You have an address there? For people could have mail there?
That's right.
Yeah. So you can have your office, you can have, did you say video teleconferencing at one time or at some point?
Yeah, we'll be offering video conferencing as well.
And it's Wi-Fi there, so you can bring their computers in. So and now they've got an address, they've got a place to work, they can bring clients in, and it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg.
That's right. And just to give you an example of what we're offering, you can come in on a daily basis for $25 a day and use the facility. We offer a monthly service for $190 a month. We're offering quarterly, biannually, and annually. Annually, it would cost you $1,900 for the whole year. So for what some people are spending in 1 or 2 months rent for their executive office, they could have this space available to them for the whole year.
Which is perfect, because from what we're understanding of some of the business climate here is there's so many fees and regulations that if you really want to launch a business, have an existing business, just can't deal with the overhead. What a brilliant idea. Thank you for bringing us. And you're launching it when?
Well, we're actually going to have our first open house on a very big day that you're familiar with, and that's Saturday, August 15th. We're going to be open from 12 noon to 4 p.m., and then the following Monday through Wednesday from 12 to 4.
How can people reach you? Is there a website?
There is a website that will be up and running, believe it or not, by the end of the day today, as a matter of fact. We're a little bit behind the gun there. The phone number is 530-223-4561.
And this is for people that want to, they need a working space. And I believe what we talked about, you said you've actually even had teachers or tutors that helped their students and just would bring them in, and they could bring those people in. They've got a computer space there. It's quiet. The place is, of course, cleaned every day, so that they can bring in their clients. So they're not, it's just a nice place there.
Absolutely. We're real excited because we're very fortunate to be able to have Dennis Halkita's photography and art displayed on the walls. So it really is a gallery type of setting in there. I'm pretty excited about it. I like spending time in there.
Well, let me tell you, I have come in and seen the space, and I just think what you're doing is brilliant and affordable and timely.
Well, thank you. I think there's definitely a sector of people out there that could utilize this kind of a business model.
What would the website be?
The website will be readingbusinessconnection.com.
And that's what you're going to be calling it, RBC Reading Business Connection.
Okay, the you know, the thing I like about this is that in today's economy, I mean, let's face it, I mean, the economy is you know, is tanking, or in many cases hasn't tanked, but it's really, you know, been punched around a lot, is that people that still, you know, still need places to work, still need to keep moving. And, you know, most of our small businesses, are, you know, or not most, but many of our small businesses are just one person. They're entrepreneurs. They're contractors that they just need a place to work. Now, you know, I'll just use my house. Well, a lot of times that doesn't work because you have kids or you've got other things. So now you've got the ability to do this, and it's a tax write-off too, because anything you're using for your business is a tax write-off, and you don't get into the weird things with Internal Revenue about using your home.
Absolutely.
So you'll have the desk space. You'll have actually desks. Furniture will be there. So somebody comes in and just writes the check, and the rest is there.
That's it. That's it.
Okay. One more time, your phone number, Phil.
The phone number is 530-223-4561.
Well, you know, from now on, you know, on Free Fire Radio, at least once a month, maybe even twice a month, we're going to be showcasing small businesses. You know, just have a segment that just says it's a new business or it's an older business. We just want to showcase them that they've done well.
And the reason behind that is because we really believe with our heart of hearts that how Reading is going to thrive or survive is by supporting your small businesses and not your big box stores. Okay, we're all guilty of going to get the light bulbs, but we're talking about supporting your small businesses. So if there's anything that we can do on Free Fire Radio is to just drive home to shop at the mom-and-pop place, because that's how we're going to thrive. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Thanks, Phil.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402 is Carl and Linda Bott. Okay. Starting a business in today's climate. It's courageous. And, you know, there's a lot of problems affecting small businesses. And a lot of it is the cost of compliances with federal regulations are significantly higher for small businesses. The difference in cost of compliance per employee is particularly large for the smallest firms in manufacturing. Now, that's a national statistic. And then if you add to what's happening to people in California with the onerous taxes and emission standards and you name it, let's take their money atmosphere we have down in the, you know, down in the Capitol. And then you add on to that county and local taxes. You know, our guest for this portion of the show is Mark Beecham. Mark has a varied background in business, worked for Forbes, done a number of things, traveled throughout the world, and he's got a very very successful blog on the Reading Searchlight record. I think was it what Reading.com. So, Mark, good morning.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for the invitation. And kudos to you for putting on a week devoted to small business. Small business is a vital part of our local economy and doesn't get anywhere near the kind of recognition that it should. I mean, it's only glancingly discussed at city council meetings, usually when they're talking about some big corporate welfare scheme like Stillwater Business Park. I wish the newspaper, frankly, would devote an entire week to talking about the concerns of small business.
Well, you know, what we see is that, you know, and we get a lot of anecdotal evidence for people talking to us. When we were talking about putting this on, people were, you know, were saying, what a great idea. And we started hearing things about taxes and fees and cost $10,000 for this, $20,000 for that. And it's like, it's not being user-friendly. It's not business-friendly when we get into it. And, you know, it's not in every case, because we've also talked to people and being fair about it, it's other people being able to get into business without a lot of problems. However, there are problems.
Well, when I covered small business for the Record Searchlight for about 4 years after I moved back here in 2003, I began to understand that the answer really isn't in shovel-ready industrial sites at Stillwater Business Park. It's in creating a climate that allows entrepreneurs here now who have businesses to expand and grow, or to encourage people like your guest earlier in the segment to come here and start a business and expand and grow. It's not this notion that you need to create something that a Sony or a big manufacturer will come and use some tax credits for a couple of years and then move on to greener pastures in Texas or in China.
Well, Carl, why don't you recently cite the conversation we had on the street with somebody regarding the Oregon versus California and what happened with insurance?
Oh, okay. We were talking to a business, and you know, it's up here in the North State, and they had gotten a they got their quote for their insurance for the year. And he thought, well, that's being pretty reasonable. And then the insurance agent comes back and says, you know, I made a slight mistake. I had you down for being in Southern Oregon instead of Northern California. 70% more. 70% more.
That's a pretty
more.
Big percentage.
That's a huge jump. At the same time, we heard about, talking about Reading specifically, how they wanted, and I'm not going to get any, I'm not going to get specific because a person could get in trouble, saying is that they wanted to make a small change. They wanted to put some tables inside their business. $10,000. $10,000 to do that. I mean, you know, they can't afford to do that. That means they can't expand their business because these are fees that Reading is, you know, is putting on to people.
You hear lots of stories. I heard lots of stories when I covered business for the Searchlight. Usually you talk to the small business owners and you spend some time with them and they open up and they tell you this or they tell you that. And there's a lot of anecdotal stuff.
Right.
And it's hard to pin down. And it's really difficult to do this kind of reporting because people are understandably concerned about saying something that could conceivably get them in trouble with City Hall. There's an Orwellian fear out there that, you know, if you attack City Hall, there's going to be repercussions. And so people tend to grin and bear it. They talk about it amongst themselves at the chamber meetings or at their groups or coffee or whatever, but they don't take it to the press, which I can understand, but at the same time, I think it's unfortunate. I heard a story before I moved back to Reading, just a couple of years before I moved back to Reading, about a business consultant who came to town. He looked around. He saw a couple things. He was being driven around by someone who was interested in developing business here. And this fellow was driven past City Hall. He says, okay, that's enough. I'm going to go to the airport. So he flew back to the Bay Area, and the person that brought him into town didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks. And she called him up, and she said, well, what do you think of Reading? And he says, well, I'm not too interested in it. And the person said, well, why is that? And he said, well, you showed me a couple of things, and then you drove me past City Hall. And he says, in my experience, I've known that there's a direct relationship between the size of City Hall and the cost and difficulty of doing business in a town. And I thought that was an interesting comment. And I think it holds true, or at least the perception is, among a lot of small business owners, that the government here is in the business not of helping small business owners, but in micromanaging them, telling them how big their signs can be, how big their landscaping, the color of paint, the kind of awnings they have, and not in getting out of the way and making it easier for them to do business and grow.
You know, going back to your discussion a little bit earlier about large businesses coming in here, taking a tax break, staying a couple years and leaving, the problem with having a large business come in here that hires 400 or 500 people, I mean, yeah, then we get, you know, some tax base and the money is, you know, of course, gets back in the community, is that if that business then decides to leave, for whatever reason, that there's another state tax put on it or another fee or another emissions, you know, problem. When they move, it's a huge impact. As opposed to having like 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 smaller businesses start here that we can bring up from other spots in the state that hire 10 to 15 to 20 people to 25 people, you get, you know, everything stays in the, also stays here, well, most of it stays here in Reading in Shasta County, as opposed to going someplace else.
Yeah, small business is the lifeblood of the national economy. Small business creates 90% of the jobs and employment in the national economy. And it's true here, too. And we should be encouraging small business, not discouraging it, which I fear too often perhaps the local governments do. Well-intentioned, perhaps, but that's the net effect.
What was the ratio? I can't remember. Somebody quoted a ratio to us that if you were to go spend $60 in a big box store and or spent $60 spread among three businesses, that $50 of that $60 will stay in Reading.
With the small businesses.
With the small businesses.
And I think it was something like 60 to 65% of every dollar from a small business stays here. Because the people live here, they pay their taxes, they have their employees that stay here. With a big box store, the profits go to Arkansas or China. China, other, New York, some other place.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I mean, the big box stores get bashed a lot, but they do pay taxes, and they employ local people.
And they do. But if you look at the overall, I think something like 40% of that money stays here as opposed to 60%. We got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. And we're talking businesses today. Our guest is Mark Beecham, and we're going to be discussing some other ideas for the city of Reading, but also things that could be done better. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk 1400 KQMS. You stop dancing, Linda.
No,
dancing
all over this the place. Music is another one bites the dust.
Yeah, well, okay. Hope you're not talking about the show. Okay, we're talking about small businesses here, and people are starting to call. What ideas do you have, my friends out there? What ideas do you have? How can we help Reading bring in businesses? Is what's the business climate like? Mark, we were talking about this during the break.
I think our economy here is far too dependent on retirees, far too dependent on welfare, and far too dependent on government. Government employees of all kinds make up about a quarter of our payroll in this town, which is up from what it was in 1990, and it's an unhealthy level, I think. But at the same time, as I go around and I talk to people, I think that there is an attitude on the part of Reading's elites, which they're happy with this situation up to a point. They don't want to see change. You go to the Reading Rotary on Thursday noon at the Country Club, and these are people that have made it. They're successful. They've got theirs. They'd be happy pulling up the drawbridge. They're happy being big fish in a relatively small pond. And I think this attitude pervades not only the Rotary Club, but it also pervades, on some level, the attitudes coming from both City Hall and the Board of Supervisors. And it's unfortunate. I think Reading has a reputation, deserved or not, of being a difficult place to come and do business.
Well, like I said, it was rated like in the top, or the top 10 of the worst places to start a business by, I think it was either Forbes magazine or Wall Street Journal, whoever was doing those, which I found really surprising that Reading would be rated that low.
So what are the solutions?
Well, I
what
think
are the solutions?
One of the solutions is to get a couple more business people on the city council and on the Board of Supervisors. On the city council, we've got two right now. We could use another, I think. We've also got someone who's, only worked in government his whole life and is retired on three pensions. So I think that changes the way you look at the world. You need somebody who has created jobs, who is entrepreneurial, who knows the bottom line, who knows where tax money comes from. It comes from business and individuals and spends it like it's not other people's money, but your own money. It takes responsibility for it. I think we need more of those people in government. And I know it's hard. Business people are trying to make a buck, and they don't feel they have the time to give to city government or county government, but it's vital that they do.
Well, the thing is, the city council puts together these committees for things like privatization and should we throw people out of their homes for REU? Why don't they put together a committee of people that say how to bring in? Let's think outside the box, and how can we bring in business? How can we make it easier for small businesses to thrive and to come in? Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great, Ed. Thanks for calling.
I tuned in late. I don't know if this has been covered. And Mr. Beecham, am I pronouncing it right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Carl has posted a comparison of REU and PG&E rates, and this kind of segues into your comment about elites. I'm not accusing REU of being a business by any means, but I thought you might be familiar with spreadsheets and maybe want to take a look at that.
We were talking about the people that use a lesser amount of energy, of power being paying higher rates.
That's correct. But more to the point, I think if you go to that, you'll see links, the stuff on Carl's site or the stuff I wrote in commentary to Mr. Murray's inaccurate comments last week about power rates. you'll see that Reading Electric Utility is really, as a business, in a lot of trouble because of this. They have a pricing strategy that's causing them to sell a lot of electricity at below cost. And you mentioned the elites being very happy about this. It's a very good system for people who use a lot of power and don't want to pay for it. But it is, I think, arguably a welfare program. Not for any particular class of people, but for the type of people, well, for the class of people who disproportionately use high-cost power. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, it does to me. And, you know, and what they were using before was when you go above a certain rate or a certain amount of power usage, then the prices do come down. But people that have worked hard, have gone off the grid, or have worked real hard to bring their power usage down are getting hammered with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but specifically for Mr. Beecham.
Yeah.
Again, I've been hammering away at every other editorial and reporter I can get to in the Record Searchlight. In the last 2 weeks, both Mr. Hooser and Mr. Murray posted inaccurate information about rates, and they both should be corrected, particularly as your paper, Mr. Murray, is a, I don't know if he's an employee, but he's a regular columnist, and that should have been fact-checked before you printed it, and it should be corrected. He wrote a column last week claiming a rate comparison that is just off the out of this. Well, just look at it for yourself and come to your own conclusion.
Right.
It's entirely wrong in terms of his PG&E rates.
Mark, you just go to our website, and we've got that on there. And he's taking notes on this, too, Ed. So
I appreciate that. And tonight's City Hall, by the way, I'm hammering my head against the wall on this. I think I'll go back. But if someone from Reading Electric Utility would bring their own bill and illustrate how Mr. Hooser got the numbers wrong, that would be very useful. You can't blame him entirely. He got his information from the REU website, you know. But if he's the boss there, he should know not to believe that stuff by now. So.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
You bet.
We really encourage your calls. Why? We got to take a break here. But 221-1402, we have Mark Beecham. We're talking business or whatever you've got on your mind. Give us a call. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Let's go to the phones. Tim, good morning.
Hi.
Hey,
good morning.
Tim.
Hey, good topic. I'm a small business owner in the community and have been for over 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Started my business with no clients, no employees, and I've employed over the last 10 years approximately 1,000 people.
Wow.
I'm in kind of a temporary staffing type business.
Okay.
But anyway, I think one of the issues I see out there as a business owner is trying to get the people that are on unemployment to work. And it amazes me, the government just keeps extending this out, and I just heard that they may extend unemployment benefits out another 13 weeks. So you can go from, 26 weeks and get an extension another 26 weeks, and then they have some other programs where, you can get in for another 26 weeks. So that's like a year and a half of unemployment benefits, and now they're going to extend them out again. We start some of our people out at around $9 or $10 an hour, and it's some people just say, I can make that on unemployment, so they're just sitting on their butts. It's really frustrating.
And then we're paying big bucks to pay those people.
Yeah, guess who's paying for it?
Yeah, I mean, we're not paying them $9. We're paying you're probably paying $20 per person an hour through your taxes to do this.
Well, it's a frustration. I just had to say something.
Well, I'm glad you have, Tim. Don't you think that that's something kind of like an integrity factor? Like, if you're raised where there's something to be proud of if you have a job, unemployment is just kind of temporarily there until you find a job. But to just kind of relax and kind of kick back and take advantage of the system is really shameful.
It's a way of life for some people these days.
Yeah, and I understand unemployment is there for people that are trying to find a job, but
yes.
But they're trying. So that's unfortunate, but that's what it's there to help as a net for them. But you're right, for people that just because they can make as much money, if not more, sitting on their butts, then there's something wrong with that.
Well, great topic. Have a great day.
Great.
Thank you so much.
We're going to be talking about this for the rest of the week. Thanks.
Okay, cool.
Mark.
Okay, final thoughts there, Mark.
Just to wrap up, I think Reading needs to do a better job of marketing itself. And I don't think we need a guy at City Hall making $1,000 a year taking PowerPoint presentations to different trade shows around the West Coast or wherever. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to be ambassadors for this town and the North State. And we need to, if we go on vacation, we need to talk about, if you meet somebody on the beach, you know, wherever in Hawaii, you meet somebody on the ski slope in Tahoe, you meet somebody, Carl, like your motorcycle trip to Utah.
There are different groups of people than Tahoe and Hawaii, but you're right.
You need to talk about this place, talk it up. Whether you're a business owner or a student or a retiree visiting your grandkids someplace, talk up its potentials. Talk up its freeway access to markets on the West Coast. Talk up its underemployed workforce, people who do want to work. And I hear what the caller said, but people do want to work, and they're anxious to get jobs.
Well, he was talking about those who have chosen not to reenter the workforce. But you're right. You're absolutely right. There's people out there that would love to have a $10 an hour job.
Talk about all the outdoorsy things you can do around here. Talk about the amount of house and property you can get for the amount of money compared to Southern California, say. And that's what we need to do. We don't need any more people at City Hall trying to drum up business for this. It's incumbent upon all of us to do our part to sell people on the North State. Once they get up here, I think the place sells itself.
Well, when you talk to people that you're from California, they get this, I'll immediately get an idea in their head where you know what you are. And then you explain to them, no, I'm not a flatlander. I'm from Northern California. And you talk about up here, Lassen Park. You talk about the mountains, and you talk about being able to ride your Harleys and the way that people are. See, we're completely different than Southern California. Not that everybody in Southern California is a jerk. Not everybody. So you're right, though, Mark. You're absolutely right. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for being on the show. And we're gonna do the rest of this week. Tomorrow we've got Chamber of Commerce people coming in. To talk about business. And then Thursday, we have another businessman, another some open line. And then Friday, of course, a bank is coming in, Five Star Bank is going to come in and talk to us about getting loans in today's climate to start your business. So, again, this whole week is to try and push business. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?